We have Alice Keith in studio on half of Sweet Jean. Hello.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for coming down. Of course, I say one half of Sweet Jean because it's yourself and Syme Nugent. You've just released your second LP, a real nice album. Really warms the senses, I feel, with sort of dual harmonies, rumbling, sensitive music. It feels like you're really hitting your stride as a duo. It sort of changed from the first album as well.
Well, it's almost a trio now. We worked really closely with our producer and bandmate John Castle on this album, and I think it has a much fuller sound. We for our first album, we wrote a lot of the songs, you know, on acoustic guitars, and then went into the studio and then built the production, you know, bit by bit.
Yeah.
Whereas with this album, we started out demoing in the studio and writing the songs actually as we were recording and producing them. And that's had an effect on, I guess, the overall sound of the album.
Does that make it a lot harder, just sort of coming up with the songs and recording them on the spot? Like, or do you find it at least easier?
I really like that process, actually. Yeah. I find it really fun. I mean, I probably, you know, next album, who knows how we'll approach it. But for me, it was something that was quite different. And I found it quite freeing in a way because
you don't overthink it
exactly. You just have to, and there's no pressure because you're in the studio. You can delete what if you come up with a rubbish idea, you don't have to stick with it, you know.
True.
So you just try a whole bunch of things out, and because you're recording as you're writing, you know, if you come up with a great idea, you can actually keep it.
Do you ever have the moments where you go back, though, after what you've recorded and listened to it and go, oh, if I had a bit more time, I might have chucked that in, or I might have done something a bit different here? Do you ever have that?
Yeah, absolutely. But the beauty of modern recording technology is that you can actually go back and change things.
That's true.
You know, we in between this latest album, Monday to Friday, and our first, we recorded an intentionally stripped back acoustic folk album, and that was all live recordings and just the two of us. And I mean, that's the opposite approach, which I also enjoy, where, you know, you go into the studio, you do a take, and that's it. You can't go back and change it. And, you know, maybe at the time you're going, oh, I wish I hadn't, you know, sung it like that, or that note's a bit off or whatever. And over time, when you go back to listen to those recordings, sometimes it's those imperfections that actually make it the most interesting, and they're the bits that draw me often when I'm listening to other people's music. You know, there are those moments that add colour and character.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, when you're recording, we're all humans. We're all going to make little mistakes, timing's wrong. And sometimes maybe people think that with computers nowadays, you can make everything so perfectly streamlined and exact. You know, it takes away a lot of that the intricacies of the music and the actual rawness of it.
Yeah. Well, John, who we worked with, on all three of our albums, you know, he produces for the Bamboos, and he's done Megan Washington and Vance Joy and people like that. But he has a real no-nonsense approach to production, and he's not precious at all. So he'll throw all kinds of mics in front of you. And, you know, also is a fan of really quick takes, and also, I guess, capturing those real direct vocal deliveries, I guess. So, you know, even though you're working with, you know, it's quite a produced album that we've put out, but there are lots of moments in there that are quite raw, I guess.
Yeah, nice. Let's rewind a little bit. The origins of Sweet Jean. Syme has a long discography of sort of solo music and working with the Wilson Pickers as well. How did you two meet? Where were you in the sort of space and time? What happened?
Yeah, well, we have quite different musical backgrounds. Yeah. I studied classical music in Adelaide. I studied composition, right. So I spent a lot of time in that world. And I moved to Melbourne and had started gigging around, playing sort of more folk-based music for the first time, and met him, and we discovered a mutual interest in, I guess, harmony singing and that really old, trad, dark folk music. Yeah. And that's what we started out playing together.
Lots of banjo on that first album.
Yeah, exactly. And no banjo on this album at all. We've left the banjo at home. Oh, I don't know, just for something different, you know. And I was playing, I'd done a bit of banjo for that Paul Kelly Shakespeare album earlier in the year. And it's nice to sort of do something, just take a left turn.
Sure.
Do something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, picked up the electric guitar instead, which has been a lot of fun.
And that was more, that was a real conscious step to sort of step away and maybe do that more contemporary sound, I guess?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I don't know if we really consciously sat down and said, we're not going to write for the banjo. Maybe I just, we just didn't pick up, you know, didn't happen to pick it up. Yeah.
Now, I see a bunch of influences in your music, sort of from Patti Smith to Lou Reed. What about yourselves? What are your individual influences and how did you meld them together?
Well, yeah, I think that's interesting because we do have quite different, there's a lot that intersects, but yeah. We do have quite different tastes and quite different approaches to writing music. So, I mean, that's interesting when you're then trying to put together a cohesive album. But I think it works actually because, you know, we each bring different ideas and aesthetics to what we do.
I know Syme sings some and you sing some. Do you write your own songs specifically for you to sing or did you write stuff that Syme sang vice versa?
Most of the songs, like whoever writes it usually takes the lead vocal.
Sure.
But sometimes, you know, Syme's written a song and then I've taken the lead and then he's harmonised to that or vice versa.
Yeah.
And we'll often, you know, one of us will bring a song to the table and the other person will kind of tear it apart and rebuild it, you know, but that's cool.
Right. That's
like,
cool.
It's, you've got to, I guess it's, neither of us is very precious necessarily.
Oh, I think it's important not to be precious when it comes to writing music, isn't it? I mean, I think collaboration in sort of, especially when you're in a small group, you know, it's very important. And then you both come out with songs that you both, you know, have worked on together.
Yeah, and I guess once you build that trust with each other, you know, you can say, yeah, I reckon we should try this, and you're not going to feel, you're going to be open to that idea, I guess. And then, you know, if there's ever a song that one of us really thinks, nah, that's the way it should sound, we'll fight for it.
But fair enough. Fight for it.
You know, we have the conversation, so.
Sure. Now, yourself, you're very involved in live music. We were just talking before. You present the live set on Radio National. I actually caught you at Blues Fest earlier in the year presenting some amazing talent in a little tent just near the main room. It was an awesome weekend. When you're watching bands from that close, how do you feel? Like, are you just itching to get out there and play? Or are you just sitting back and just watching it?
No way. I'm just like I'm just appreciating their skill and talent. And, you know, it's a pretty great thing to be able to pick people's brains about what they do and what motivates them to write and how they write and how they play and, you know, I guess see the different ways that people approach performing as well.
You get some really good stories out of people. I think it's always exciting when you can get them to play and then you can talk to them straight away and find out, you know, where that song comes from or why you chose that. And it's always interesting in a really intimate space like that. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, especially at somewhere like Blues Fest. I mean, you know, you don't, like St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I don't know if you were there for that session, but
they're a
soul band from Birmingham, Alabama, and they were, I think, one of the kind of big buzz bands at the festival. Not a lot of people had heard about them before the festival, but they just played, you know, roof-raising show after roof-raising show in these massive tents.
Yeah.
And then there they were, you know, performing to 100 people.
I felt so lucky to be in that room because I just saw it on the blackboard and I was like, oh,
no
one was there at the time. It was like 15 minutes away. I was like, I'm going to get in there. And then to see them that close up, a band like that was amazing. Just to see the sweat dripping off the lead singer, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He was singing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Since you released the album, you've been doing a tour around Australia and your second last show, I think, is tomorrow night.
Yes.
At the Brighton Up. What can people expect at your shows?
Well, we're travelling with our dear friend and producer, John Castle. He's playing bass and baritone, and another good friend of ours, Roger Bergadas, who's also a producer and multi-instrumentalist.
Right.
So we've got the...
So much talent in one there. It's amazing.
So, well, it'll be a full band show. We haven't taken the band to Sydney before. We've only ever played as a duo. So we're really looking forward to that. I think this new album is very much a band-driven album. So, I've been having a ball playing these songs you know, with the full band, and we've got some great local supports, Emma Davis and Leroy Lee opening.
That's it. Brighton Up Bar tomorrow night. Get on down around 8 o'clock, I reckon. It's just $15 at the door or online at brightonupbar.com.au. Well, I'm going to take it out with a bit of a cover. I hope you don't mind. I think you might play this at your live shows, but I thought it was such a cool cover that we're going to play. It's a bit of a bonus track that you had. Can you tell us why you covered Teardrops?
Well, yeah, I still don't know the answer to that question. We were, we do spend a lot of time hanging out with John, and I think we'd, you know, when we were recording the album, we'd had maybe a big night the night before. We were all feeling a little fragile,
right.
And Syme just out of the blue was like, "Hey, why don't we record a cover of Womack and Womack's Teardrops?" And for some reason, John and I were like, yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it. And we did it, and this is the result.
Fantastic. Well, Alice Keith from Sweet Gene, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's